Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
In this podcast, I'm going to chart out a scheme for cardiac rehabilitation to motivate it across society and indeed our overall region. And so I'm going to quickly set out the actual scheme, then I'll talk back and I'll cover the sort of unusual thing for the podcast audience to get sort of used to so they don't get too confused. My story, the sort of relationships with doctors et al, and I suppose the detailed plan. So let's just start off with the idea is, so I had cardiac surgery and I was up and walking and chatting with the other patients, and I would note that of the people, of the various patients, more than half had decided that they weren't going to throw themselves into rehabilitation. They've had enough. They had this various thoughts and planning. It's perhaps more than half, remarkably. So you get a different story if you're a patient. They say, look, I've had enough. I'm not going to go into cardiac rehab. And then again, I'm speaking with people in the community, though some people have really gone into it. There are other people who say, look, I really regret I didn't do cardiac rehab. So the basic plan is, obviously, in motivation, if you want to motivate, you have to sell it, arrange, facilitate it in a new way. And one of the ways that I think could happen is that if you do so much cardiac rehabilitation, you achieve goals and you earn money and you release donated money to go to, say, the Indo-Pacific islands in the Indo-Pacific to help rehab them. So people can donate. So the idea is that you donate money for this... for cardiac rehabilitation, and with that money it goes there as sort of units of money which can go out, and you have to do so much rehabilitation for that money then to be released, if that makes sense. And then the donation has the goodwill of the donor plus the goodwill of someone who's got their skin in the game of actually applying it. So the value you can add up to is that if you want to have some sponsorship. Now, I don't know whether that will work, but it's definitely a way to create a complex thing to actually get the discussion going. So often, if you look at retail marketing, they will have a quiz, a competition, a prize, and the description of the prize, people are saying, oh, what's in it for me? How does it do it? And in the process, they discuss the product and whether they raise the question, would you like to do it? So it's in that level of marketing of would you like to do it? So that's my plan. So you have a charity to raise money for cardiac rehab outside the region, but that money has a double impact, that it requires people to release that money to do so much cardiac rehab and reach so many goals with the team. So that's a sort of it sounds enormously complex, but if you look at the back of your cereal packet or I don't know, let's say at Woolworths, you have to spend so much money, and then you get a sticker, and the sticker goes on, and it goes to the school. So people donate to the school by a process there. So it's a well-known marketing thing to have a little look at it and whether it can get going. So as you can hear, this is a warts and all. Basically, it's not so much a podcast, but a voice memo. That's went to a podcasting conference, and if you actually just produce a podcast and just whack it on the internet, as my computer programs have been organised to do, that's the equivalent of basically a voice memo. It's sort of frowned upon. So you've got my coughing there. I want to stop for a little while. In the last, say 10 podcasts, I used a shotgun microphone. The shotgun microphone is mono, so I've changed the recording to be mono. And the end result of it is that I stick my USB into the computer, and it then picks up and publishes everything to the internet. And I put a series of quality checks for the computer to come back with me and to say it's passed various things. So what it does is it puts the beginning and end music, and it does things like quizzes and all this insane educational aspect to be put on the podcast, all done by the computer automatically, so you just put it in. Automatically does it. And then what it does is it makes an MP4, a movie out of it for the if you should want to put it on YouTube. But if you don't want to, makes an MP3 for iTunes. And to do that, it goes through a process of having put the music in with it, built that together as a unit. It then adds some cover art to it. And what's happened is that with the shotgun microphone, for no reason I can't quite track down, it's truncating that. It's only going up to a point to where it's stereo, and then when it's going to suddenly have to go change gear to mono, it's suddenly doing something else now. And this is something that it worked for a few podcasts and stopped working, rather dead in the water for it. Something I can't see. And so what's happened is that I've just put the shotgun microphone aside, and I've got these files which haven't worked, and I will tweak the software. There's some sort of deep in tweak. So this is for the people going. So the if you want to go to this podcast, it will come there, and you're given an MP4, MP3 version. If you just... The MP3 doesn't go for the full length. The MP4 will go for the full length, and you should be able to press that, and I'll get back and republish those. So let's get back into the sort of different aspects of heart surgery. So this, and I'm not going to actually mention specific doctors so you can identify them, but there's Coral, possibly Devang. I think that's probably the two people I want to refer to, probably Deborah, associated with it. And firstly, I suppose just mention duty of care. So this is something I'm very much aware of, sort of the balance of, so when you're in the treatment, channel, you know, you've got something wrong with you, and it's something to be treated. You undergo a duty. You enter a duty of care system. A lot of them, patients don't understand it, and but sort of having been involved in the periphery with various medical teams, I know the various stories of sort of doctors being trapped by having answering machines or paging. The moment you contact a doctor in that and you're in that treatment regime, even if they may say no, they know of it, and legally there's a duty of care. So once you know that from the patient's side, you can start to deconstruct it. And then often people tell you something which isn't necessarily relevant, but could you ask that, because it will clarify. No, you just can't do it. You just have to make sure all communication is relevant to you, and very much that, you know, you're an experimental thing. The experiment must go through you. It's I suppose as a scientist, I'm very much not giving additional information or embellishing things or putting a... you're trying to do that as much as possible, not to ask additional questions or volunteer information which is perhaps is not relevant, and just slowly work with the people as a scientific team. And once you know about the duty care thing, you know, say for your particular surgeon, you get introduced to the surgeon. The surgeon therefore has a duty of care, a process, and then the surgeon sees you after surgery for a final one, and the duty of care ceases there. So you can't contact the surgeon again. Or even though you want to say thank you and cheerio, that's stopped. And very much to handle duty of care, you have to get communication directly across to people. So this, I hope I'm out of the surgery treatment area. I might still be in, and I'm in an unusual situation, which has been, as a laser physicist, I've been in an unusual situation having to consult on lasers professionally as a laser thing and keep that separate from being a patient and things like that. And so here I've got a sort of a background in an MBA in business and marketing, and a sort of a background in looking at motivation and teams, and trying to identify a problem and solution. So the problem is that there is a fraction of people for which the single pass direct process of cardiac rehab is less than ideally efficient, and then there's this sidling up of not talking about it but talking about something else, and the story is embedded in that, and being able to just restructure goodwill for the region and to actually draw people up in it. So you can be coached associated with it. So that's the general idea. So again, duty of care, we'll put it out there. If you have a question, I tend to write to the receptionist and say, will the receptionist shovel that up and sort of create at least some sort of barrier there. That may not be all that different. Now, in terms of my own process, so after this has all gone through, there are sort of technical things which could really help if you did it here. And this is the I've had heart valve surgery, and the heart valve is made out of a material. It's not made out of metal, it's made out of a carbon, and the carbon's isotropic carbon, and it's got this whole range of special physical properties and thermal properties, and it's got the processes of carbon. And one of the properties is that it will last for a very, very long time, 10 million years, 10 million patient years, as you read into it. And so this is a story. If you say, oh, it's a cow valve, the person knows about a cow, and everyone knows a cow. I've seen a cow. A cow is good, milk and things like this. Aircraft, not so good. And the actual material was developed for the nose entry material of nuclear missiles, and then the coating of nuclear fuel rods, and then various applications as for specialist heat sinks for very flat devices like mobile phones. There's a series of it, and also it's wound up here. Now, it has the property of being able to float on magnets. So I've put forward a little, I suppose, a desk toy with magnets, and you've got this little material of heart valve. Now, the obviously, when surgeons and everyone says, "Are you having a metal valve?" you go, "You don't," and you're about to be cut open. And the thing is that you are purely focused on that duty of care treatment pathway. It may be bad, it may be good, but you've got to put in, the doctor's put in the best effort, you put in your best effort. You're not going to be able to say, "Oh, look, you're wrong about it being metal," and stop everything. And of course, there's obviously a big process there, and it obviously looks metal. Now, the thing is that the heart valves put in resin, because isotropic carbon repels water, repels resin, there's a little air layer in there, and it will look silvery, but it's actually jet black. And I found it interesting because I've with that little thing, with that, you get sort of like a prop. You get with a prop, you get so many different reactions from it. So friends and people. It's remarkable that they very rarely see something levitating with no rubbish. So this little piece of carbon actually floats about a millimetre off the surface of these magnets. And there's certain things that you can see with, you understand the field and various things. It's called diamagnetic. So essentially, if you apply a magnetic field to something, the electrons inside it can, the orbits can align such that the a south, if you've got a north, a south can be put, and that will cause for some degree of attraction, or it can be diametric, the north will generate a facing north and it will be repelled. So water is an example. So you can put a grape in a strong magnetic field and you can push it all around, or you can toss a frog into a very strong magnetic field and it will float. And the sort of king of this diamagnetic, antimagnetic things is this carbon, and of course that's what the heart valve is made out of, carbon 4, and it floats. Now, ferromagnetic is a different thing. It's to do with the quantum mechanical spin of electrons, rather than orbital spin, and you can align it and encourage the a chaotic cancel magnet, get the cooperative things and to get them to all point in the same direction and push it there. So this is, I suppose, an interesting thing. Now, the interesting thing for me is that you show it to different people. So your mates, this is amazing. But people in power say it's amusing. It signifies nothing. You go, so you get this, it's sort of like this thing which tells you 100%. But if people who are in the, you know, this is where we're doing some really great stuff here, they can take it and bring it along with them. So for me, it's sort of like an experimental divining rod, so I can tell immediately people who are open-minded, people who are very closed-minded and have an agenda, a power agenda. It sort of detects it because these people will say, and I've given off to certain people, and it's something very much reflect on. Now, the story here is that this little magnet thing with it flowing is very much similar to a deal. So the deal or an object has different responses, and if you can plan that interaction, so the information does something, but then a deal or an object, it can give you another set of things. It can humanize it, bring it in, and you can say, please get money to that person in the south of Pacific Island, because by giving the money, that person's going to be a lot better. Oh, yeah, I can accept it. It's not me. It's this poor chap. If it's stuff like that, he's going to get better if he does exercise. But we can release that money if you exercise for it. It's a scheme. So you can see how that goes through and the different groups of doing it. So even with this little toy, that toy will respond in different ways. And so this is not going to have a universal effect, but it's going to have an effect on, say, 10%, moving them from 10 to that 10% negative to 10% positive. So if you can imagine you've got, say, 60%, don't want anything, 40% actually, well, say 20% do moderate and 20% do really intense high-level exercise, what this will do is pick up randomly out of that 60% another 10% and move them across, keep their attention span. So it's that's the theory at least behind it. Now, one of the things you can, I can hear me as I'm breathing, and the seatbelt moving here. One of the things that happened here is that I have to really think on this. The actual valve inside a person is, we have this new technology, and that new technology has a certain result in different people. So, like this toy has a different effect for different groups of people. Now, the valve, in respect to me, is very much part of a story that you can accumulate, and it goes very much on the DC comic book. I think it's a Captain America, or I forgot, it's Iron Man. Iron Man has a problem in his heart, and there's a fragment of iron next to his heart, and they can't operate. And he has a heart that he puts in himself, and for a lot of people, they can't do complex stories, but they can talk about something. So you can actually develop a scenario through a novel reading through it, or you can have a comic which tells the entire story on a single panel. And so there's the potential for this to tell my story on a single panel, in terms of that you've got a quantum physicist, and life's not going too well, but you swap out a piece, and it really is, there was a hell of a lot of quantum physics in this heart valve. And I'm not trying to put it forward to you, but in terms of the comic mind, there's the idea that this person, it's in terms of comic book stories, ultimate comic book story. You've got someone, a quantum physicist is going to die. They put a bit of quantum physics in their heart, and they can start to be a superhero, so to speak. It starts to go forward. Now, there's very much this statement of, obviously, I didn't get out of this completely scot-free, and the mentioning of one door closing, another door opens. And essentially, why I'm doing this is to say, and of course, as I'm struggling to recover and stuff like that, there's these sort of very strange phenomena. There's sort of be knocked down to 10% mental capacity, working up to 20, and then working ways around it. But even that 10 to 20% means I have to rework things over and over again and really understand things quite well. So what I'm doing in this case is saying, well, hey guys, not drop everything and let's do it, but just to raise the flag, this is a potential way that to re-engage meaningfully in society. Because in society, you're a person in a Stetson hat who goes to work and catches a train and stuff like that, but in reality, once that's moved from you, you have to reinvent your way forward. And why not reinvent something about trying to get this charity idea up? And it's not something for you to go, it's not your expertise to actually do it, but we can actually link in with it. There are modern ways of doing this, and we might be able to get going. So that's what I have to say at the moment, and I'll put this off. And I suppose the main thing in this case, I'm going back to an old technology in doing podcasts, and I'll see if this goes up normally. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.